I told him I was looking at the whole book of Jonah tonight. We're going to be preaching some from every chapter. I'm going to skip a lot of it, but some of the verses we just can't skip. We got to go with it. But in Jonah chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and then we'll go from there. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Title of the message tonight is A Servant Like Jonah. A servant like Jonah. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day and all your many blessings. God, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to stand, Lord, and preach your word. God, I pray now for a fresh anointing. God, I ask, Lord, for you, Lord, to speak through me what you want spoken tonight. I ask, Lord, that your spirit will touch every heart and soul. Have your way through the remainder of the service, and we will give you praise and honor because you're worthy of it all. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Jonah, as we know, is considered to be one of the minor prophets, being 12 of them. But the difference between Jonah and the other prophets, Jonah is considered also to be a narrative. What Jonah does is tell a story of an event that takes place in his life, something that happens. Jonah also, as we know, was one, as we're going to see in the scripture tonight, a servant like Jonah, he was hard-headed. I know there's nobody in here like that. But Jonah was a hard-headed person. Jonah hated the Ninevites. He hated them with a passion. He wanted nothing to do with them, and he tried his best to get away from them. The scripture tells us that God called Jonah and told Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach to them because their wickedness had come up before him. Now, Jonah is also the only prophet that God sent into a foreign country. He's the only prophet that God sent into an area, into to a people that all the Israelites really had, they didn't like them. They hated them. The Ninevites were a menace to them. They attacked them every chance they got. They done this to them. They done that to them. And there was just a plain old hatred for the Ninevites. I know that nobody in here hates anybody like that. But Jonah hated the Ninevites with a passion. And he did not want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. He done all that he could. So the first thing that we see in Jonah as a servant, was he was a servant of disobedience. He disobeyed God. And the scripture tells us in verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He was trying to hide from God. He was trying to get away from God. Now, we already know in Psalm 139, David tells us that there's no place that we can go that we can hide from God. There's, you know, people try to get away from God. You know, they go to the mountains, they go to the beach, they go to the other side of the world, but everywhere that you go, God is already there. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter where, God is there. He hears everything. He sees everything. He knows everything that's going on in your life. Jonah tried to run. God sent him in one direction. He goes in the other direction. Disobedient to God. Now, I know nobody in here has ever been disobedient to God. God tell you to do something, you don't do it. Well, I was one who was. I'll admit it. I was one who was. I did not want to preach. I run for 9 years. Can I tell you, when you run from God, life can get miserable. It can get real miserable. It can get real hard when you're trying to flee from the Lord. When God tells you to do something, the best thing to do is just go and jump in there wide open and do the very best that you can. I didn't see my for the preacher. I had seen what other preachers had been through. I'd seen the things that they had had to go through, and I wanted nothing to do with being a preacher, especially a pastor. You don't know what a pastor has to go through. Unless you've been there, there are times, you know, I love Preacher Thad. I'm going to tell you that. In the 3 years that he has been to High Point, there's some things that he's had to go through I never had to face. There's some things that he's had to face in those 3 years nobody should have to face. But he stood strong. And he faced them. And the church is growing because of it. Amen. He didn't run from the problem. It wasn't swept under the rug. It was met head on. And I commend him for that. Jonah disobeyed God. Jonah didn't want to do what God told him to do. So we see the first thing, he was a disobedient servant. Second thing, in Jonah, we see a servant that is afflicted. He tells us in verse 12, and he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. They had to face a storm. Now these are experienced sailors. They have been in storms before in their life. But they had never been in a storm like this before. Have you ever been in a storm before? If you serve God, you're going to be in a storm. You know, I've always said, you either just come out of a storm, you're in a storm, or you're fixing to go into one. You're fixing to face one. This storm came up because of Jonah's disobedience. This situation took place. You know, the sailors had done everything that they knew to do. They were throwing things overboard. They were getting weight out of the ship. They were trying to keep the ship from sinking. But the storm kept getting worse and worse and worse. And where was Jonah at? He was down in the bottom of the ship asleep. He didn't know about the storm. He didn't know what was taking place. The captain goes down there to him and tells him to get up and pray to his God that maybe this storm would go past them. But Jonah didn't pray because Jonah knew that the situation they were in was his fault. Can I tell you this? The decisions that you make in your life affect not only you. They affect also the ones that are around you. Whether it be your family, whether it be your friends, the decision that he made affected these men. Now, it doesn't tell us that they served the God that Jonah served, but the captain told them to pray to their God. The problem with that was their gods were fictitious. Their gods were not real. Their gods could not do anything for them. They needed to get in touch with the one and only true God. They needed to get in touch with Jehovah. And Jonah was the only one there that actually knew Jehovah. But Jonah was out of the will of God. He was out of the will of God. When we get out of the will of God, bad things start happening. God does things and sends things our way to get our attention. And that's what's happening here with Jonah. He's in this situation and he knows the only way that it can be calm, the only way this storm is going to pass is if they take him up and throw him overboard. They didn't want to do it. They didn't want Jonah's blood on their hands. But then in verse 15, it says, though they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Just as soon as they threw him overboard, everything got calm. But that wasn't the end of Jonah's story. Because the scripture tells us in verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. A lot of people want to say Jonah in the whale. I don't think it was a whale. They were in the Mediterranean Sea. There's no way possible a whale could be there. But we also know nothing is impossible for God. So I believe God did prepare a fish large enough to swallow Jonah. I just believe that. Jonah was there 3 days and three nights. And the question I had there, Jonah didn't have a watch. How did he know how many days he was in the belly of the fish? Could you think about it? He's in the belly of this fish. It was dark. It stunk. It was nasty. It was any. If you've ever been around a hog pen, you know how bad the hog pen stinks. I know we used to have 40 of them when I was growing up. And that's the worst smell, ask my son. No matter how far away from it you get, you still can't get far enough away. Well, the inside of that fish stunk worse than that. And that's what Jonah was because of the fact that he disobeyed God. If he'd have only done what God told him to do in the beginning, he wouldn't be in that situation. We make things hard on ourselves sometimes because we disobey God. When God tells us to go visit somebody and we put it off and don't go. When God tells us to pick up the phone and call somebody that's been absent and we don't do it. We overlook it. We don't call them. When God tells us to teach a Sunday school class and we say we're not qualified, we don't do it. When God tells us to get up and sing and we don't do it. When God tells us to do this or God tells us to do that and we deliberately disobey God, things happen in our life and nobody's to blame but ourselves. Ourselves. We can't point the finger at nobody but ourselves. See, what God's trying to get Jonah to do is take a look at his own life. That's what we need to do sometimes. Just take a look at our own life. We question sometimes why we're facing this, why we're facing that. Sometimes, I'm not saying every time, but sometimes it's because of disobedience to God. Third thing, in Jonah we see a servant that's praying. This is the first time Jonah prays in the book. And the scripture tells us in chapter 2, verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. It amazes me how people who never have anything to do with God, just as soon as trouble comes to their life, they call on God. They call on God. People who say that they're atheists, they don't believe in God, they don't worship no God, but you let something bad take place in their life, they call on God. Amen. It happens all the time. What about just every now and then, just thanking God? Because you want to know a secret? We can't make it without him. We can't make it without him. God provides everything. Yes, all of us have problems. All of us have things that we have to go through. All of us have stuff we have to face every day. But without God, we can't make it. We need him to be there with us, to take us by the hand and to lead us through those storms that we have to face. We need somebody to lead us through the valley, back up to the mountaintop. We need somebody to watch over us, and God does. We need somebody to protect us, and God does. We need somebody to provide for us, and God does. We need somebody to just wrap their arms around us and draw us in close sometimes when we're feeling so bad. And God does that. He does that. When it seems like nobody else cares, God cares. God cares. Things that we think are so big, to God, they're nothing. Jonah was in a situation that that he made for himself. And he called on God. Fourth thing. And Jonah delivered. Delivered. There was nobody that could help him but God. Can I tell you, sometimes in your life, there's some things that you're going to go through, some things that you're going to face. There's nobody that can help you but God. Who's the one that you call on at 3 o'clock in the morning? God. Who's the one you call on when trouble comes and you don't know how to fix it? God. Who's the one you call on when there's nothing in the cabinet to fix for eating? God. Who's the one you call on when you got holes in your shoes and in your clothes? And God's the only one that you can call on whenever something comes up in your life, because he loves you, he cares for you, and he wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. God loves us that much. And you don't get a busy signal when you call him. He's always available. Scripture tells us in verse 10 of chapter 2, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry ground. Ain't that something? Even the fish couldn't stand Jonah. He vomited him out. God delivered him. He wanted deliverance. He wanted to be able to look at the temple one time. He wanted to be able to worship God from the temple one more time. God delivered him. He set him free. But only God could have done it. Amen. Only God could have done it. There's time, there's things that goes on in our lives sometimes that only God can do it. Nobody else can. It doesn't matter who you call, they can't fix it. You can call the preacher, he can't fix it. He can pray for you, but he can't fix it sometimes. Jonah called on the Lord. The Lord delivered him. He fixed that problem. So that leads us to our next point, which is number 5. We see a servant in Jonah that is recommissioned. Recommissioned. God give him a second chance. I'm glad we serve a God of second chances. I'm glad we serve a God of third chances. I'm glad we serve a God that even gives fourth and fifth chances, because he loves us that much. You know, I think of the prodigal son. He done watered in the hog pen, but he said, I got to get back home. I got to get back to where my father is. You know, even the servants in my father's house have got it better than I do. And he takes off back home, and his father's on the porch to see him, and he goes to running. He didn't wait on him to come home. He went running to him and wrapped his arms around him. He loved him. Put a robe on him. Shoes on his feet. A ring on his finger. He gave him another chance. Some people wouldn't even bother with giving him another chance. But his father gave him another chance. My father gave me another chance. Even though I run for 9 years, he still got me in a situation. I got you where I want you. What's the excuse now? Those are the words I heard from the Lord. You got nowhere else to run to. There's nothing to stop you from doing what I've called you to do 9 years ago. What's the excuse now? Even Moses ran out of excuses. You ever notice that about Moses? Moses swore up and down he couldn't talk. He had a speech impairment. Some people think that he stuttered. So God said, I'll send Aaron. He could be the spokesperson. The problem with that was Aaron never got a chance to speak. It was always Moses doing the talking. We run out of excuses. He said in chapter 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Now, get this. Over here in chapter 1, verse 2, he said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness had come up before me. But now he's telling them to go to Nineveh and preach what I tell you to preach. Amen. What I tell you to preach. You're not on your own now, Jonah. I give you the chance to go and preach. But now you're going to preach what I tell you to preach. And for 3 days, he preached through the whole city. That's how long it took him to get around the whole city of Nineveh. This city was so big. It was the capital of Assyria. It was so big, there was at least 120,000 people in the city, not counting what was outside in what we would call the suburbs of the city. Jonah had to preach to all of them. He preached a message that God told him to preach. They had 40 days to get everything right between them and God. 40 days. They had to make some changes. Verse 3 says, so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. This time he done what God told him to do. He learned his lesson, I guess, from the first time around. Got to do that. Sometimes he'll put us in situations. Sometimes he'll put us flat on our back to where we can only look up to him. Amen. To get our attention. To get our attention. Things happen a lot of times. God's trying to get our attention. So that leads us to the sixth point. I told you it wouldn't take long. The sixth thing, in Jonah we see a servant that is powerful. Powerful. You know, you think about it. Noah preached for 120 years. Nobody got saved. Nobody turned to God. But yet he kept building the ark. And the whole time he was building the ark, he was still preaching. The only reason, listen now, the only reason Noah's family got saved from the storm was because of Noah. It was because of him. The scripture tells us that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So because of the life that he lived for God, God spared his wife, his sons, and their wives also. Only 8 people out of all those people, God told him to get on the boat. And then God shut the door. Some people say Noah shut the door. Nope. God shut the door. Because God knew that if Noah had shut it, he would have been tempted to open it up to let his friends on board. So God closed it, and he couldn't open it back up. So we see a powerful servant in Jonah when he does what God says. Chapter 3, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn from one from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Even from the king all the way down. Sackcloth and ashes. What surprised me here was they even put it on the animals. Domestic animals. All the cattle, the horses, the camels, the donkeys. I reckon if they had chickens, they put it on them too. But everyone, 3 days, what they fasted. 3 days they done without. No food or nothing to drink. Now, those of you who have animals, you know if you normally feed them and water them at a certain time, if you don't do it, they get to looking. That dumb dog I got, he'll get on top of his doghouse. And he'll sit there and wait. Because every morning I go out pretty much the same time and feed and water him. And he'll sit right there. And if I don't come out at that certain time, he goes to barking. I call him dumb, but really he's not dumb. He's smart enough to know when he's supposed to be fed. But can you imagine a whole city, the suburbs and all these animals who are used to getting fed and watered at a certain time, all of them go to crying out. Can you imagine even the children who are used to being fed at a certain time, all the children are crying because there's no food being given to them. There's no water being given to them. All this, it would drive me crazy. But yet they done it hoping that it would please God and he would repent of what he had planned to do to the city. In other words, they were hoping God would change his mind and not destroy the city. They had 40 days. They had to decide what they were going to do, which brings us to the last thing. In Jonah, we see a servant perplexed and fainting, but not forsaken. Jonah was mad. Even though he had preached a message and the whole city repented. I mean, the whole city repented after one message that Jonah preached, he was mad. The scripture tells us in chapter 4, verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? God basically asked him, what are you so angry about? What are you so mad about? Verse 5 says, and Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. So that tells me the 40 days aren't up yet. Jonah's preached a message. Everybody in the city has repented. They've turned from their evil way. They've changed their lives. Now they're trusting that God is going to forgive them and God's not going to destroy the city. Jonah goes out, you know, having a little pity party here now. He can't get his way. Things aren't going like he wanted it to go. He wanted to see that city destroyed. He wanted to see every one of them people dead. He wanted God to just wipe them off the face of the earth. He hated them that much. So he goes outside. He makes him a little booth to cover himself from the sun. He climbs up in it. That night, God calls it a gourd vine to grow up. Now, if you know anything about gourds, they got big leaves on them. So the gourd vine grows up, and he's really protected from the sun now. Got a great shadow up over him. You know, he's waiting on God to just send lightning and fire down from heaven to wipe them all out. Very next night, God sends a worm. The worm eats the stalk of the gourd vine. The gourd vine dies. And Jonah gets mad because the gourd dies. So God said, what are you so angry about? You didn't plant the gourd. You didn't water the gourd. You didn't fertilize the gourd, but yet you got more compassion on this gourd than a city of 120,000 people. Should I not have compassion on this city? Should I not have compassion on these people? Should we not have compassion on the world that we live in today? Amen. This world's a mess. There's no doubt about it. This world's a mess. But can I let you in on a secret? It's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse because I believe that it's not going to be long. I'm a daydreamer. I'll go ahead and tell you that. I'm a daydreamer. And a lot of times I dream about heaven. And I can picture the front throne room of God. And I can see God sitting up on his throne. And I can see Christ sitting at the right hand. And every so often, he's getting a little antsy now. He'll look up at the Father. He's waiting on the signal to go bring his children home. Amen. One of these times, he's going to look up, and God's going to say, it's time. And he's going to step out on the cloud. Scripture tells us the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those which are alive and remain. And I still believe the rapture is going to take place before I leave this world. Those which are alive and remain will be called up to meet him. Amen. To meet him in the air. I'm looking forward to that day. Do we deserve the compassion God has shown to us? No, none of us do. You may say, well, I wasn't a bad person. I didn't cuss. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. But you were just as lost as that drunk in the ditch. You still needed a Savior in your life. Amen. And it's amazing how many of those drunks have become preachers. It's amazing how many of those harlots have become Sunday school teachers. It's amazing how many of those dope heads have become deacons in church. You know how I know? Because I was one of them. I was one of them. And when I didn't even love myself, he loved me. He saw something that nobody else saw. And I thank him for it every day. I know what it's like to have a second chance. But I know what it's like also to be out of the will of God. And I know what it's like also to have to suffer because of you're out of the will of God. I don't know tonight what you're going through. I don't know your lives. I don't know anything about you. But God knows everything. I don't know if the battle that you're in right now is because of disobedience or if it's just something that's testing your faith. Because that happens also. He done that with Abraham when he told him to take Isaac up on the mountain and offer him up as a sacrifice. It wasn't because of something that Abraham had done. God was testing his faith to see how much he loved him. Some of the battles we face is because God is testing us. But some of the battles we face is because of disobedience. And many of those times, it's because of something that we've done that we knew we should have listened to God to begin with. If Jonah had only listened to God in chapter 1 and done what God told him to do, he wouldn't have had to go through any of the other stuff that he had to go through. But he did not listen. He didn't have that relationship that he needed to have with God. He tried to run. Let me ask you this question tonight, and we're going to close with this. What is your relationship with God tonight? Are you still as excited about your salvation today as you was the day that you got saved? See, many people aren't. They're not as excited as they was when they got saved because they've gotten complacent in their walk with God. Many are just going through the motions now. You know, it amazes me how when you go to church, a lot of times you just go through the motions. It's the same thing week after week, service after service, nothing changed. And we just go along with the flow. We don't get excited no more. We don't shout no more. We don't praise Him no more. Why? See, when that relationship with God, when we don't have it, you know, God's here. Just think, that's God. But when we're out of fellowship with God, we start moving away from Him. We don't read our Bible like we used to. We don't pray like we used to. We don't go to church like we used to. God's still over there. But look how far we are away from Him now. We're not where we used to be in our walk with God. Where are you in your walk with God tonight? Is it the same as it used to be, or have you gotten away? God loves us. He loves us so much He sent His Son into this world to die for us. When God saved us, He only asked one thing of us, and that was to be obedient. He tells us in His Word, obedience is better than sacrifice. Are you obedient to Him? Has God called you to do something and you put it off? You keep saying, I can't do that. I can't do it. Can't is not in God's vocabulary. There's a lot we can do, but there's also a lot we don't want to do. Where do you stand tonight? Let's all stand.